We have these strengths and weaknesses in relationships. And then you guys are people who mix your business with pleasure. I'd like to start with Rufus and Jenny. Just with this question, you've broken down so many, you know, no walls, all those walls that say, you know, no to you, and you've made history, you know, so many times as the first Black Muslim couple in so many arenas, from your TED Talk to Ebony Magazine and more. What has been the hardest part of mixing business with pleasure, but then also what would you say is the most rewarding? Called like Who's the Boss, but Couples Edition. Are you guys ready?
I win.
We stay ready.
Who's the boss at reciting? Reciting Quran, reciting prayers. Oh, that's great. Oh, the men. Okay. Well, of course, I guess that makes sense. Okay. Who's the boss at advice giving?
Give it up, bro.
Oh,
that's real good advice.
Okay, so the women. Isn't it interesting? The brothers are good at reciting, but when it comes to dropping them gems, it's the women. Okay. As a, you know, you guys are a mixed race couple. Do you coach other mixed race couples? And what's the number one advice you give to them?
Assalamu alaikum, Chill Fam. I'm Kalima, and today I am joined by two couples from the Chill Fam, both of whom are super influential to our ummah, as they have created a platform geared to highlighting life as married Muslim couples. They expose al-haq and yet a chill lifestyle with some of the most trending and thought-provoking content for Muslim couples on social media and beyond. Rufus and Jenny are the first Black Muslim couple on TED Talk with their speech, The Power of No, and the now public figures for everything Black Muslim media, marriage, and lifestyle. They are entrepreneurs, producers, writers, and podcast hosts themselves. Also, you may have recently caught our other chill guest, none other than En Vogue El Arabiya. That's right, Zahra and her husband James are a mixed race couple who offer relationship coaching and guidance to those singles even before they say, I do. Before I Do, which is the title of their new book, which offers 150 questions Muslims must ask before marriage. Are you ready to chill? Let's go.
Assalamu alaikum, Chill Fam. I'm Kalima. How are you guys doing today?
Assalamu alaikum.
Doing great. We're well.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Did I get it all in?
You got it.
We've got Rufus and Jenny there. We've got Zahra and her husband, James. All right, you guys, are you ready, Nika and Chill? We have a very fun game. It's called, like, Who's the Boss, but Couples Edition. Are you guys ready?
I win.
Okay. We stay ready.
For the first one, who's the boss at cooking?
You ain't the boss of me.
Who's the boss for Zahra or James?
Zahra. I think it's Zahra.
All right. Who's the boss at gift giving?
James is the boss.
Me.
Okay. Okay. And then let's see. Who's the boss at organizing?
I don't know.
Who's the boss at storytelling? I know you guys are all speakers, public speakers. Oh, wow. You want to give... Okay.
She's in midway. I don't know. You're not impressed?
No. This dude can tell a story. I mean,
don't be telling a lie.
No, you are really. You are genuinely a great storyteller.
You tell it. Okay.
Who's the boss at driving? Now I know.
That's me, Zahra.
Yes. Okay. Who's the boss at reciting? Reciting Quran, reciting prayers. Oh, that's great. Oh, the men. Okay. Well, of course, I guess that makes sense. Okay. Who's the boss at advice giving?
Give it up, bro. Give it up.
Oh,
that's a real good advice.
Okay, so the women. Isn't it interesting? The brothers are good at reciting, but when it comes to dropping them gems, It's the women. Okay. Who's the boss at being romantic and flirting?
James is
the boss. Ooh, okay. Who's the boss at spitting game? Who's got the better game?
I don't know about no game.
My game is pretty terrible.
Okay, all right.
I'll give it to James.
See, that's game.
You're right. And you
that's for real.
Yes. Okay. And who's the boss? We have two more. So we've got who's the boss at shopping? Good shopper.
I might as well just leave the screen.
We're both good shoppers. I think we're both good shoppers.
Okay.
Give me my black belt. Okay. Somebody is Amazon King over here.
Okay.
He is Amazon King. If you're talking about going out and going shopping, give me my black belt.
If you're talking about doing all that walking, that's plug.
Give me my black belt.
I put the
cart.
I put the internet. Yes, right. I put it to the cart and let it deliver. She like to walk too much for me.
Hey, you gotta touch, you gotta feel, you gotta try it.
I ain't got to look at it.
You gotta search the clearance.
In it, who? Too much walking.
I feel you there. And last but not least, who would you say is the boss at matchmaking?
Girl, I got out that business.
Zahra.
Business.
And then you would say Jenny.
Yeah, I would say me.
I would say she need to mind her own business. That's what I would say.
Yeah, we don't do like that anymore, but we could definitely tune in to when people would be good for one another.
You can't do good with matchmaking if people ain't telling the truth. That's all I'm saying.
Now that's a good point. That's absolutely a good point. Wow, you guys, that
one couple, which is my marriage. That's it. I did one and done. I retired. Yes. After
one and done.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So you know what? It's interesting. You know, we have these strengths and weaknesses in relationships. And then you guys are people who mix your business with pleasure. I'd like to start with Rufus and Jenny. Just with this question, you've broken down so many, no walls, all those walls that say, no to you. And you've made history as many times, so many times as the first Black Muslim couple in so many arenas, from your TED Talk to Ebony Magazine and more. What has been the hardest part of mixing business with pleasure, but then also what would you say is the most rewarding?
Inshallah, by now you've given this a thumbs up and you're ready to subscribe, because this nikah doesn't have to end here. Plus, there's always more ways to chill, like grabbing our exclusive nikah and chill merchandise. Check out our halal phone card holders and our new nikah and chill couples journal. Jazakallah khair, fam.
The hardest part with our business and pleasure at the beginning, because we're over a lot of the hurdles. The hardest part was trying to pull back from trying to make people see our value. When we were coming into a space, especially as Muslims, the marriage space was held by imams, scholars, different people with licensings and different stuff like that. We don't have all of these credentials behind our name. We're not PhD, we're not, licensed therapists or anything like that.
I don't need but one credential.
We put out a book because
it's called 30.
Because we wanted a voice in the space. That was our intention. Okay. We wanted a voice in the space.
Yeah, but I find it difficult though.
We were seeing a lot of non-correct information. We were seeing society veer direction that it is today.
Wrong information.
We saw that 10 years ago, where it is end up now. We saw that. So we wanted a voice in that space. And when you come as an anomaly,
I personally just wanted to correct some wrong information.
When you come as an anomaly, as Muslims, as a Muslim couple that has been married as long as what we have and have the credentials of what we have as far as business, mm-hmm. then you get thrown into another space because that's how Muslims do, you know, that's how Muslims yeah. do and push you on this pedestal, like, oh, you've come to correct all of our problems. Mm-hmm. You know, here you come to save the day.
Oh, and, I wasn't Superman.
So that was challenging for us because we weren't trying to take away nothing mm-hmm. from what scholars said or what Imam said or did or anything like that. We just wanted a voice in the space. And a lot of people saw that as a challenge okay. or if we were coming to change something. So we were met really? By a lot
I didn't
of,
notice.
I told you these stories, but we were met with a lot of bureaucracy. You know, with even with like message boards or, you know, organizations or things, you know, who saw things, they can only see thing one way, that okay. there was no outside way that could possibly help, you know, in a different way. So that yes. was a challenge.
And also for Zahra and James, you both are in a relationship as a coaching duo. So you both coach. Why was it important for you guys to come out with a book called Before I Do?
I think it was for several reasons. And the beauty of it is that we infused our different perspectives. Zahra and I are different people. And as you saw in the skills, who's the boss, like we are skilled at different things in our relationship. And so the main reason why is we wanted to give Muslims a tool to use the courtship process as it was intended. We meet so many people. I've been talking to this person for 5 years. I've been talking to that person for 6 months. I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? What are you doing? What are you using this process for? And the majority of the marriages that we've seen that weren't working for the couple, for the community, for their families, were marriages that were obviously not going to work from the beginning. And basically, they didn't use the courtship process to determine compatibility quickly and sort of non-judgmentally, right?
Yeah.
So that was probably the main reason, is to resolve that. But then as a Muslim man, I felt that Muslim men in this time and age are really not ready to make that transition from man to husband. So a part of that book is around that, because women are always expected to change. You're supposed to move, give up your career, X, Y, Z, all these things that are sort of ingrained in young girls and women in Muslim culture and in Western culture in general.
Yeah.
As men, like, you're the Prince Charming. You just show up and, you know, accept you as you are, even if you're a frog. Like, that's how it is. Like, you don't need to change at all. Mm. Whereas to have a successful marriage, you continuously have to evolve. And probably the most shocking and biggest evolution is when you go from just a single man to a husband. And sort of part of that book was written for my brothers in mind, for those that need that support, and just the realization, oh, I'm getting all these benefits from marriage. That's wonderful. And here are the ways that I'm going to also need to step up and change.
Absolutely. Wow. You guys are a mixed race couple, and I hope I'm using that term correctly. Do you coach other mixed race couples, and what's the number one advice you give to them, to those people?
Yeah. I mean, we coach people individually, and we have a coaching program that we co-coach together.
Oh, wonderful.
And for a majority of our coaching practices around individuals, so they might be married, but just the husband is coming, or just the wife, or they're single and it's, you know, just the single person.
Okay.
So we don't tend to really, we coach whoever wants the support in expanding and growing to the best version that they can be, and aligning themselves with their true nature so that they can, give their gifts into the world and also receive the blessings that are already coming to them. But many of us have closed off from our blessings because we feel we're unworthy, or we don't deserve, or, we kind of self-sabotage in that way.
Yes.
And so that's also how it relates to the book and why we wrote the book, and allowing it to have there's this you know, there's this crisis or this struggle right now with people getting married in our individualistic society. Well, I don't need a man or I don't need a woman. I can do everything on my own. I can get a maid service. I can get food delivery. I can sex toys. I can, you know, you don't need anyone for anything.
Yeah.
You can chill by yourself. Right. So what happens when you don't need someone, but you want them? Mm-hmm. How are you going to show up now where this is just a desire? This is something that we can enjoy and enjoy our community, you know, enjoy our communion, and this blessing. How do I show up in that way? And that's very different from, you know, generations before where men and women really did need each other. You needed to be married in order to, you know, have status in the tribe or advance your family or, you know, to procreate or to be able to sustain, you know, a business or your farm or whatever. You needed the bodies of people. You needed to be together. And so in this day and age, right, many people are self-sabotaging and getting in their own way of connection because the need is not there, but the want, the desire is still there. And to show up being open, vulnerable, honest, is a challenge for many because we're used to now on social media putting up a picture perfect front that you don't want people to see behind, like, you know, what mess you really have. But when you do, it's really powerful because you'll see that, like, you are loved just as you are. Allah knows your faults and your flaws, and there is someone who will appreciate and value you just exactly as you are. And so that's really the power of our coaching and the power of our book.
Absolutely. And also that there's more people like us than more people not like us. I think social media makes us think, oh, you know, no one would really believe my real world. And it's like, yeah, like a lot of people would relate to that. And that's why, you know, 150 questions is great for singles and married people, or, you know, I know that it's before I do, but just to be able to reiterate those conversations and those challenges that you might have to face eventually, or that you may be not even thinking of. It's great because it works for all walks of life, whether you're coming from an Arab background or African American background or whatever. I absolutely loved reading it. What has been the hardest part of mixing business with pleasure for you, and also the most rewarding for you guys?
I think the most rewarding is I just genuinely enjoy Zahra's presence. And so for me, you know, in a halal way, like even if we weren't married, I would love to have Zahra in my network, in my orbit. She's just that kind of brilliant person and elevates, you know, anything that I'll bring to the table, it will only be enhanced. And so that to me is the biggest blessing, I guess. From the difficult part, I think for us, and we started 4 businesses together. So, you know, this is not our first rodeo, I would say, with this coaching. I would say the difficulty, which is also a blessing, right, is just to learn how to not take business decisions personal when you go into your home at the end of the day, right? She might say, I don't want to work with this person, or I don't want to do this strategy. And I'm like, no, I feel very vehemently that we should do it. And maybe I'm really mad from a business decision that this whole thing didn't go my way. But then it's difficult then to go home and let that go.
Yes.
You can take it personal. And that's part of our coaching, is that we try to create separation between who you are and what you do, right? What I do as my job, as a coach, as an entrepreneur, is not who I am. It's just, that's my job. That's what I do, but not who I am. And so it was a challenge, but it enabled at least me to grow, to create that separation, that we could have an argument right now about the answers that we had at this game. But now as we leave to our next meeting, like, all right, what are we getting for lunch? What are we doing? What fun are we having?
Being able to categorize.
I would say, like, the biggest challenge is just turning off the business piece. Like,
yes,
not talk about business and, like, let's be a couple. But, you know, our minds, we started 4 businesses, so our minds are always going like,
yes,
we can do that. And like, sometimes we're like, no, we're just Netflixing and chilling. Like, stop.
Stop.